Good Wednesday afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome, welcome. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I am Brady Hull, and that over there on the other side of the bulletproof glass is Colfax Emilian. How are you, Colfax?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in, man. It's a nice little Wednesday afternoon. We're in the midst of Broncos training camp. You see the fly?
I do see the fly now. I thought you were making it up earlier.
Stupid fly. It was in my office. I need to shower regularly, perhaps. It's just in here now. Now I can't open the door. Hold on.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Let the fly out.
You kind of shoo that thing out of here. I'm trying to get out of here, fly. Get out. You don't belong. Did he go?
I don't know.
I think he went.
I'll keep looking. I don't see him. He's okay. Gone.
I'm shutting the door. He's right there. He's hanging out on that.
He knows what's up.
He's hanging out on that microphone. I'm going to try to sweep him away. Nope. He's going left. I hate flies. Summer's fantastic season.
Are they getting smarter, flies?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They are getting smarter.
I feel like they're getting smarter.
Yeah. They know, he's trying to get me out of here. Nope. I'm just going to go the opposite way.
So I have this thing I got for Christmas, one of those bug assaults. I don't know if you've heard of these.
No. Bug assault?
It's called a bug assault.
Okay.
And it's literally a salt gun that you can use to hunt
flies?
Insects and flies.
Salt gun? What
salt
is it supposed
gun.
To, like?
Like, it's literally like a toy-looking gun that spring-loaded, pull the trigger, shoots salt, kills the fly.
What the heck?
It's amazing. But I tell you what, since I've been using it, every time I break it out, the fly is just, they know what's coming and they go away.
They get used to it. Then they train their friends. They go back and say, dude, Colfax has got this salt gun.
Yeah.
And they're trying to kill us with it. So tell the family.
Exactly.
And just watch out. Whenever you see Colfax grab that thing, make a run for it.
They like tell it as like a story, like folklore, like Coleman and his salt gun. They pass along family lines.
Oh, yeah. And it's like a tale.
Yeah.
As old as time. And then as they get older, they're like, oh, that's not true. That's a fable. And then, that's a hell of a movie right there.
It is.
Flies are bad. Wasps, dude. I told you my kid.
He did.
He got stung or bit, whatever. Because I guess they bite, too. That's what I was told from the wasp expert that I called. And my kid got stung or whatever on the ear, and it just, like, swelled up instantly. And, of course, my wife stood out there and waited all day. She didn't take down the nest. I would have just been like, stupid nest, you're done. Squish it and move on with my life. My wife she's devious, but she's, like, getting revenge. She's like, no, I'm going to leave the nest up. So that all the wasps that are out doing stuff throughout the day, getting their errands done, come back home, bam, she hits them with the spray. Nails them with that stuff. And they just keep coming. So she's sitting out there for a full hour, bringing them in, popping them down.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's a smart plan.
Very smart.
But you don't make her mad. You don't mess with the kid. Like, that's it. Mama Bear comes out, and it was a scary time for those wasps.
So they're done. They're trash.
Yeah, I still see them around. I still see them. Yeah. Neighbors got it. You got to take care of those things. Because then it's not just your problem. They're bleeding over to my side now.
Yeah.
And they start taking over, creating their little weird little cone nests or whatever the hell those things are.
They're ugly. There's no honey in there. What's the point?
Yeah, they're not. Like, bees are cool, man. I love bees. They don't mess with you.
Nope.
They're out there. We got our flowers hanging around. We get these big, fat bumblebees. I love it. We saw a hummingbird the other day. I mean, it's like I'm freaking Snow White around there half the time. And then the wasps interrupt, and it's all hell breaks loose.
Got to have a villain in it.
You got to have a villain.
Yeah.
But that's why, I always say this and people get mad. Summer is awful. Summer is terrible. Every other season, I can even hang in there in spring. It's depressing because I know what's coming, summer. But I can hang in there springtime.
Well, luckily, it's no longer summertime.
It's fall. I don't care if it gets to 99. My mind is in fall. I'm going to start wearing sweaters.
Pumpkin spice lattes.
Pumpkin spice latte, pumpkin beer.
Ooh.
I'm going to start breaking into some Halloween music. Scary tunes.
Just jam out.
Jam out. It's fall. Once we turn over to August and football teams are in practice, it is fall. CSU's tomorrow. UNC's tomorrow, too, I believe. I'm going to be out at CSU practice tomorrow. So that'll be interesting, I'm sure. We'll get to talk to Coach Adazio, have a full season. So try to get out there. I think we're only allowed to see like the last 30 minutes of practice or something. We're not going to. Listen, and I don't care. Like, I know sports, and you guys, you're dying, you're salivating over every update that you can get over Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater. I don't necessarily need to be at practice every day analyzing for you guys. I mean, because at the end of the day, does it matter how many guys tear it up in practice and then are just meh when they get to the season? Got to see the games. It's all about the games. And I guess yesterday they had a crap. The Broncos had a crap practice. It was just awful. Today, Teddy Bridgewater's starting to tear it up. And we got us a competition. It sure sounds like it's back and forth, entertaining. We'll see if it really yields a good result for the Broncos. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. How about this one? Phillip Rivers, he's kind of hinting that he might be interested in a comeback. He's at least not ruling it out. He's a first-year head football coach at St. Michael Catholic High School. But the retired quarterback told the Los Angeles Times on Tuesday that he hasn't shut the door on returning to the NFL for a stint late in the season, perhaps. So if a team, you know, loses a quarterback, they call him up. So he's like not really interested in doing the whole thing, like training camp or getting into it. But he's thinking, hey, if a team needs me down the road, like the Colts, why wouldn't the Colts call him today? That's where he was last year. They have a situation going on. Are they going to go get Nick Foles? We know that Reich likes Nick Foles, and he's a third-string quarterback for Chicago, so you're going to get him for nothing. Or do you just go back to the Phillip Rivers well? They had some other bad news. Quentin Nelson, he's out for about the same amount of time as Carson Wentz. Same injury, but different. It was different how he got it. Carson Wentz is like an injury that kind of cropped up or whatever. Quentin Nelson, Coach Reich said, something along the lines of it's hereditary. It's always there, and it's just when it's going to flare up and mess with him. And apparently when it does, it's really jacked up. And here's what Phillip Rivers told the Los Angeles Times. I'm not quite there. I'm getting back there. I wouldn't have made weight if I had to report last week, that's for sure. But I'm getting back into lifting and running and shoot. I occasionally throw a ball around out here in this heat. It's not too hard to get a good lather going. Get a good lather going, yeah. You wouldn't like to hear this as your starting quarterback?
I've talked forever. I talk in every game. It's just fun. I didn't know he changed personnel. I was too busy talking.
Oh, I was into it the whole time. I was such a turd today. I feel bad. Mike and everything and a turd to them. I was such a turd to them.
Hey, what are you looking at? What do you mean? He had it the whole time.
Hey, sir. But it doesn't matter if he bobbles it for an hour, as long as he ends up with it. If it doesn't hit the ground, it doesn't matter. It has to hit the ground. If it never hits the ground, it doesn't matter. He can bobble it for an hour.
That's a bad call. I don't want to talk about it. We didn't get a touchdown. We had to score twice. We've had to score twice. Twice. Golly. Made us score twice to get sick.
I didn't mean to yell at you earlier.
You're fine. I get fired up, too. One thing, I'll never talk ugly. I won't ever talk ugly to you. I just get excited. I'm just competing.
I love it, man. We got a lot of Phillip Rivers haters out there, though. People don't like Phillip Rivers. He's a nice dude. He's animated. He complains a lot. He makes a great point about the damn catch, though. I mean, when you played football on the playground, it didn't matter if you bobbled it. As long as it didn't hit the ground, a catch just means I'm keeping this football from hitting the ground. Now it's like you got to hold it. It's got to be still in your hands for like a considerable amount of time, and you can't go to the ground. Yeah, he's got a point there. He's fun to listen to. I've always enjoyed Phillip Rivers. Do I want him here? Should the Broncos give him a call? That's our Power to Play Sports poll question. Phillip Rivers has not ruled out coming back to the NFL. Should the Broncos give him a call? Whoa, this has changed. 55%, this was like 60% saying no. 55% now saying yes, they should give him a call. Go to theholeshow.com to vote. That is our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Phillip Rivers has not ruled out coming back to the NFL. Should the Broncos give him a call? Yeah, he said, Chris says, who will help change all the diapers if Rivers comes back? That could work two ways. Is he old in diapers? Or his name, of course, Crybaby Rivers. That works both ways, to be honest with you. There was a time where Phillip Rivers really bugged me, and that was when the Chargers were like winning all the 14-2, and they had LaDainian Tomlinson. And I think that was, you know, they had Marty Schottenheimer, and then it was Norville Turner. Norvy came in, and they were still really good. And yeah, he kind of drove me crazy because they were just so good. But overall, I don't know that I'm down. I'm still into this Drew Lock thing, Colfax. I mean, I feel like we've gotten this far with it. So let's see it through and see what you got in the guy. So no, I say no because I'm not about, I mean, was he 30, Is he 39? He's 37? Is he 39? He's getting up there, isn't he? Yeah, 39. He's 39. Well, Kenny Swami says he also has 9 kids. I'd want to get a job, too. Yeah, he's probably like, dang, this is tough. This is difficult. All these kids running around. I think they want to keep having kids. They just want to keep having them. Create a little football team. He's probably looking around because being a parent is hard. I cannot imagine 9 children. Parenting is the hardest job in the world. And I've only done it for 3.5 years. But it is way harder than any job I've ever had, any sport I've ever played. It's just a constant, but it's awesome. It's amazing, but it's a battle. There's always something new going on. And I can't imagine with 9 kids. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. 970-478-1301. If you want to text the program, you're new to the show, you can text KFKA to that number and get involved. Dixon says, so glad I'm a KC fan and don't have to go through quarterback battles and questions about when we should try to sign Rivers or not. Feel really sorry for you guys. Do you, though, Dixon? Do you? I don't think so. I think you're the arch nemesis of the show for a reason.
I have Patrick Mahomes, and I'm the best ever, and it's great. It's amazing to have a great quarterback.
Let me just say this. I bet our sports talk, this show in particular, is way more exciting than Kansas City sports talk.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Hey, season's coming up. Guess we'll just go win a bunch of games again.
Gonna win.
Dixon's gonna have more fun watching games.
True.
With Kansas City, but I'll bet you sports talk. You're right. That's a great point. Because it's like when Peyton Manning was here.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, man, he broke a record again. That was awesome. They won. Until you got to the playoffs. And then it was like, all right, can we take the next? Can you get over that hump? Kansas City, you're the favorite to win the whole thing again. So, yeah. There's no controversy. I always say this about sports radio. You either need to be really, really, really good. And like if the Chiefs are undefeated, and we're going to talk about that. Or really bad. Middle of the road's not going to draw ratings. It just never does. You got to have an absolute dumpster fire, or you got to have perfection. That's what we want. Speaking of perfection, did you see the ratings, Colfax, for the Olympics? Yikes, they are not good. Check this out. NBC reported, and they're like acknowledging it. They're not trying to hide it. Sunday's NBC audience of 13 million. Was down 51% from the 26.7 million who watched the corresponding night in Rio. Saturday night was down 57% last Wednesday, down 53%, and Tuesday down 58%, the Nielsen company said. So what is it? I'll tell you what it is. There's none of the... And I know some people are going to get into the political stuff, and maybe that has something to do with it, but the obvious one, how many years have we gone in with Michael Phelps? The swim team was amazing. The Olympics or the gymnastics team was big. You just got to see Usain Bolt, those guys. There were so many big names. This year, Simone Biles is the big name, and she barely competed. So that's tough. I mean, you're tuning. And the time difference is really jacked in Japan, right? Every time I try to watch in the morning, because it's just always on, I always get water polo and beach volleyball. And I'm not trying to disrespect any sport that's in the Olympics, but if you watched water polo, dude, it looks like the KFKA gang just decided to make it a pool day. And it's just like, I got the ball here. Hey, think fast. Whoosh-ah! You know, and they're just swimming. And then they're doggy paddling as they're waiting for someone to pass them a ball. And then they kind of just shimmy over here with the ball. And then they pass over here. I'm like, what am I watching? This is a sport? And then they try to chuck it into that net, and then the goalie just, no. How did that get to be in? And then beach volleyball, it's kind of cool, kind of fun, but after 3 minutes of that, I'm like, all right, I've seen enough. I'm good with everything. I don't get into basketball. I love basketball, but for some reason, Olympics basketball just doesn't do it for me. The NBA is the most important, and you're watching a secondary product. So I know people are making a big, and plus the team, again, soccer's done. The women's soccer, they were popular. They're done. Yeah, and I know there's controversy surrounding them too. And sure, I'm sure that's part of it as far as the ratings go. But it's crazy that the ratings are just awful. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Broncos, Phillip Rivers, potential. No, probably not. But to go vote, it's fun to dream a little bit, to dream about the G-darn-it guy, Phillip Rivers. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
Catch the Ellis and Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Company always on the run, a destiny. Oh, it's the rising sun.
Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I saw this message. Okay, so the Rockies decided not to trade Trevor Story, thinking they will get a decent compensatory draft pick. With what Story said about not being traded, would you blame him for wanting to sit the remainder of the season to avoid injury? Tell Dick Monfort goodbye in a subtle way, and then ride off to a new team. My thinking is, I wouldn't blame him. He's too much of a good guy. He's a pro, man. I mean, Trevor Story's not going to do anything like that. And plus, he hasn't had that great of a season, so he's going to need to, and he had a nice game last night, he's gonna need to show teams right now. The second half is going to be him saying, hey, I am worth a monster contract. Because right now, I'll be curious as to what he's actually worth. The Rockies, I thought this was a story that was interesting from Pat Saunders in the Denver Post. He wrote, I've talked with some people who believe Story might take the Rockies' qualifying offer, about $19 million. But then he says, I doubt that happens. He said, I also don't think he will re-sign a long-term deal. He wants to win now, and Rockies' window to be a contender isn't open right now. I mean, if the Rockies come in hot, they come in pretty high, considering that Trevor hasn't had a great year, he might not warrant upwards in those 20s. Maybe not. Maybe he does. Maybe some team will pay him. But if the Rockies are able to give him a pretty high contract, does he stick around? Because again, I he's still a top-notch player, but his value went down a little bit this year. So when you're a player and you're an athlete, you're trying to sign the best deal possible, right? You're trying to get the best deal so that when you retire, you're set up, your family's set up, boom. While based on what we've seen, his value has just gone down. Now, some players are fine. They just go for it. They just sign it, you know, whatever. Sign a five-year deal with the team and get $19 million or whatever the hell that looks like. But some guys say, hey, I think if I can play one more year and I take this qualifying offer, then I can re-earn a larger contract for the next season. I mean, again, that would be the only way I could see Trevor Story perhaps sticking it out, taking the qualifying offer for next year, so I can have some, a pretty good chunk, $19 million, and then I got to bring my A game and earn a max-type contract, a giant contract. That's the only way. I still don't see it happening. The fact that Saunders is even kind of questioning it kind of confuses me, because, you know, yesterday I talked to Drew Kreisman, and he's like, no, not going to happen. But I'd be curious if it would, and again, it could make sense to do the one-year qualifying offer, try to build your resume back up, or take at least, you know, and again, second half of the season, if he starts to light it up, then, you know, somebody might come in with a higher contract. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Text the program if you want to get involved. If you're new to the show, new to the station, text KFKA to that number. Let's see what text. Where is it? Let's find it. With nine kids, he obviously doesn't watch a lot of TV at night talking about Philip Rivers. Maybe he doesn't know how bad the Broncos QB situation is. Would Philip Rivers, we've talked a lot about like what Aaron Rodgers would mean, what a Deshaun Watson would mean, which again, that's out the window now. You'd be a contender. Would Philip Rivers make the Broncos a contender? Would a good quarterback, not great, not upper echelon, but a good quarterback suddenly make the Broncos a contender? I'm not talking about squeezing into the playoffs, but a team that you could say, hey, we might have a shot. Philip Rivers is the quarterback for this Broncos team going forward. And you got the defense that we think is going to be so good, and you got all these crazy good wide receivers. Does Philip Rivers make you that much better than where you are? And again, based on the practice, that everything that I've read about yesterday, practice was just god-awful. They got the joint practices starting pretty soon with Minnesota. And they're going to have to, I mean, they're going to have to show something, because when you start to string, you know, one practice is not bad, it's not that big a deal, but when you start to string together a few terrible practices day in and day out, then you start to go, oh boy, this team might not be good. They might not have it. They don't have the it factor, guys. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. Speaking of the Broncos, Colfax, 1310 KFK 103.1 will be carrying Broncos games all season long. Yeah. KFK is now an affiliate, a radio affiliate, and it's cool because you'll get to hear the Broncos on FM. I think KOA, of course, has the FM, but you can just get that into Denver, so you'll get to hear Broncos in the Greeley area on the FM side of things. And, of course, the AM still sounds golden here, 1310. So you get KFK wherever you go. 31 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about, well, we'll talk to Mark Johnson. Pac-12, Big 12 working together. Are we going to see some gigantic, massive conference trying to pit their resources together to fight the evil SEC? Let's talk about it. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. 36 minutes after the hour. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, as he does each and every Wednesday, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, so much continues to happen. College sports has changed so much. We might be, or we probably are, in the midst of another big change with everything going on with the Big 12 in Oklahoma and Texas. Saw this story this morning and thought, man, that's going to be perfect to talk to Mark about. Sources on ESPN saying Big 12, Pac-12 commissioners meet to discuss potential strategic partnership. Are they pooling their resources trying to take down the evil SEC?
Well, it's an interesting time right now. And Brady, have you ever been at lived anywhere where they had earthquakes? You ever felt that before?
No.
Well, yeah, having lived on the West Coast for a while, I'll never forget the first time it happened. There's something very unsettling when you're standing on the ground. The one thing that we count on to be there all the time, and it begins to move. That's the sensation we're having right now in college athletics, because what we saw last week, and I was kind of out of pocket last week. I was off the grid for a while, and at one point, my cell way up in the mountains, all of a sudden, I stepped on a exact spot where I got cell signal for a moment. My phone blew up, and I began to look down and hearing about the Oklahoma-Texas thing, and I was kind of surprised, wasn't shocked by it, but that was the first salvo that was fired, and it's going to continue. I talked with an administrator in the NCAA that I worked with years ago just this morning, and I said, what do you think? And he says, man, it is moving, it is shaking, there are reverberations everywhere, and right now everybody on the individual college campuses on the top level of college athletics are trying to figure out. It's kind of like that game of musical chairs. When the music stops, you want to make sure you're in a very good position. That's what everyone's jockeying for right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wild. We've talked about so many changes in such a short time with the transfer portal, with the name, image, and likeness, and, of course, now with this with conference realignment, what's going to happen? Mark, I had talked to a guy, Andrew Bogish of CBS Sports joined me last week and talked about, you know, the dream that college sports would have, or his dream, I suppose, of just four massive conferences, 16 teams per conference. You just go four big ones. The rest get left out. The rest are some kind of D1 Part B. Do you think that's where we're headed, actually? Now you're talking Pac-12, Big 12, at least talking about what they can do.
Right.
Do you think we're headed in that direction?
I don't think there's any question about it. I've told this story many times, and I've told it on your show. Back in 1997, I'm standing in a practice field in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, at Illinois State. Todd Berry, who's now the president of the American Football Coaches Association, and I are talking, and he laid this out. He said, this is where it's going. Now, at that time, he said, I can guess in probably 20 years. Now, we're beyond that, so it's taking longer than Todd speculated at that point in time. But he said to me, he said, this is where it's going. And I've been, you know, kind of re-reporting that over the years, and there were times 10, 15 years ago where people would say, you're out of your mind. And I'm like, no, it's going to happen. I'm telling you, the insiders in college athletics have always known this is where it's going to go. And so what will happen, I don't. It may be 4-16 and maybe 4-20 league conferences and maybe 5-16. That would equal 80 teams right there. And I can see where that break, that 65-70, 75-80, somewhere in that range, breaks off, goes and takes their ball and their money and just says, the rest of you be damned, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take all the money. We're going to take all the big-name teams. We're going to go do our own thing. And like I said earlier, you don't want to be left out of that. You know, if you're Colorado State or you're Wyoming or someone like that or Nevada or Air Force, my goodness, you do not want to be left out on the outside looking in that deal, because that's going to be a cold, cold place for athletic departments all around the country. But I do think that's where it ultimately is going, yes.
And that's, like you said, if you're a CSU, boy, that's tough, because maybe they're a bubble-type team that's close to being in, or a program, I should say. But if you're out, then the future is pretty unlikely if you can even afford to have Division I Class B sports anymore.
Well, what people don't understand is not only are you making money, you know, locally, so through boosters and ticket sales and apparel sales and all those kind of things, but there's money that trickles down from the NCAA to the NCAA tournament, and that's a $1 billion contract, and it trickles down to a lot, so it helps a lot of schools out there, and you're making money off that. Because ultimately what this comes down to is television contracts. And let's say it's 70 or 80 schools that break off and go do their own thing. If you're on the outside looking in, what is the value of that from a television standpoint if you're not part of that enormous Power 5 BCS-level group? There's not a lot of television money that's going to trickle down to that. There's going to be some, but it's not going to be the same thing. And if you're on the outside looking in, that becomes a very difficult financial set of circumstances you're going to deal with. And I've said this to you before. That's why there was a lot of this I didn't like, because, number one, it's going to hurt a lot of opportunity out there, because are the student-athletes at that level, whatever that new level is, going to be fine? Certainly. Are they going to make some money? Certainly. Are the institutions going to make money? Certainly they are. If you're not, and there are schools that just say, this is too difficult a hill to climb, we're going to drop college athletics, we're not going to have athletics at our institution, all of a sudden, a lot of opportunities are going to go away. The other thing about this, Brady, that really bothers me, and I think the one thing, the reason I've always stayed with college athletics over the course of my career, let's just jump and start doing pro athletics, I love college athletics. I love what it represents. I love the tradition. I love the rivalries. I love the conference affiliations. I love the on-campus traditions like Relpy running and all these kind of things. And this is going to hurt some of that, and it changes what we have always loved about college athletics. And I think that, in the end, is not going to be a good thing. I think it's inevitable. Things are going to change. There's no doubt about that. We're not going to stop that. That's right. The hay's in the barn. It's going to happen. But I don't like the direction it's going and what we're going to lose in the process of this.
So Bob Bowlesby, George Klyavkov, I think I got that. I messed it up 45 times already. The two commissioners, Big 12, Pac-12, they're getting together. They're meeting for coffee, beers, whatever. What's the conversation like? Some kind of strategic partnership is what I read. But, Mark, I mean, I'm curious to see this because I love creativity. I think COVID taught us that, all right, businesses, teams, a lot of things, you have to get creative if you want to stay alive.
Sure.
I'm curious to see if something miraculous comes out of this.
I was on a show yesterday.
We got you, Mark.
Still got me?
Yep, still got you.
I was on a show yesterday and they asked me a similar kind of question. And I said, well, in the short term, that's going to be supremely important. Well, whatever the creativity between and Klyavkov and what they come up with and how they kind of present themselves into the networks for television money is going to be interesting and I think very important. Ultimately, I'm not sure it really matters, because if we are talking about this separation or divorce from the NCAA, And then it's going to rework everything anyway here down the road in a year or two, whatever that ultimately happens. And so the near-term, important, yes. The long-term, it's probably less important because ultimately that new organization is going to have a new set of rules and a new set of expectations and a new set of negotiations that go on with television networks, ESPN and ABC and Fox and everybody else, and they'll have new deals. And so in the short term, everyone is trying to find that spot that ultimately will change here. Down the road, like I said, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is.
Now, I don't think this is, I mean, people are going to watch football. We're excited about it. This year's going to be fantastic. I know everybody's ready to go. But, Mark, don't you get this, like, feeling of, there's going to be games and all these battles, but with all this looming over the top of us, does it all really matter? Because the conference realignment, rivalries, all this is going to be set up. Everything's getting ready to change. Is there that kind of that impending doom feeling in the pit of your stomach, or is that just me?
Well, no, I agree with you. I mean, having Thanksgiving dinner when the divorce papers have already been signed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows what's coming. Everyone knows this is the end, but we're going to do the best we can to all put a smile on our face. We're going to enjoy the games, no doubt about that. We're going to enjoy the pageantry and all the college athletics has to bring. But ultimately, when it's all said and done, I mean, think of the Bedlam game this year. I don't know if it's, if they're playing it down in Texas, I'm assuming so. If they're playing down the Cotton Bowl and they got that game down there, think of that game knowing full well that Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are not going to play in that regard ever again as conference rivals. I'm sure they're going to play, but they're not going to play in the same circumstances they have been. And so, yeah, it's just got kind of a weird feel to it. Like I said, it's the divorce papers have been signed, but we're all going to celebrate the holidays.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I mean, that's just this feeling I get. You know, we're daily talking about, can CU make some noise in the Pac-12? Can CSU do something big in the Mountain West Conference? And at the end of the day, it's right. Is Boise State going to leave the conference, go to the Big 12? Is the Big 12 even going to be around? And then we're going to get this massive conference where the Pac-12 merges. And it's I tell you what, it's interesting for sure, but it's going to change. I mean, we were so sad with CU-Nebraska rivalry going bye-bye. Rivalries as we know it are going to change like crazy.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, I think back to my time at Syracuse when that was the first wave of this upheaval in college athletics, when everything was changing. That was in that 03-04 range. Remember when you saw a bunch of shifting going on out there? Then that was followed, then, of course, not that long later when Colorado was moving to the Pac-12 and Utah went and Nebraska went to the Big Ten and Missouri to the SEC. And so, you know, this is kind of that second or third wave now we're looking at. And, we know on the back end, if you're a major program like Colorado is, you're going to end up in a nice position. I know what that looks like at this point. I'm not sure. My crystal ball can't show me that. But, you know, it is unsettling overall for college athletics. And for, you know, somebody who's loved college athletics for my entire professional career at this level, that uncertainty is troubling, certainly.
Yeah. Well, either way you slice it, football's going to happen. We had the Pac-12 Media Days last week, of course. CU getting ready to start practice this week. And I'm excited about this one, Mark. I hope to see you down there. It sounds like we're going to do the little coaches summit thing that your guy, Mr. Plotty, puts on in Denver, where all the coaches throughout the state are going to be meeting up, Division I coaches. I love that event.
Yeah, it's a nice little event. I'm looking forward to it. I just left campus here half hour ago. I spoke to the guys today about their media responsibilities, and I've got their first practice tomorrow, and we got the kickoff lunch coming up at the 20th, and that event you're talking about downtown, still, I guess. And yeah, you know what? Once the calendar flips to August 1st, it's good to have a little bit of normalcy coming back. We know the college football's happening, and we can all kind of jump in, with both feet. They're obviously going for about a week now down at Dove Valley, so. Yeah, it's a good time of year when you got college NFL football flying around.
Yeah, I told my producer Colfax that when August 1st hits and we have football practice going again, it's basically fall for me, Mark. I'm wearing a sweater. I'm drinking pumpkin flavored coffee. I'm all in. I'm sitting by a fire. It's 90 degrees. I don't care. It's officially fall.
Yeah, so for you folks in Greeley, weird guy wearing a sweater at 95 degrees, drinking hot coffee. That's our guy, Brady.
It is a little scratchy for sure, but I'm in this now. I got to commit to it. So who's coming with me? That's what I want to know. Mark, next week, let's talk some X's and O's. Let's start looking at the Pac-12 and breaking it down.
I look forward to it. We'll see you.
All right, my man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Packers fans, right? Oh, we got Aaron Rodgers back for the year, but he's probably gone at the end, or maybe 2 years. But even then, you could go win a Super Bowl, and you can make some history real fast. College football, it's like, CSU, yeah, you're going to go win the Mountain West. Might not even be here next year. I mean, that I know that sounds extreme for me to say. I love the Mountain West. I do. I mean, I love covering these teams. But Colfax, if Boise State leaves and CSU's left in the dust, I mean, these conferences are already struggling. They're hanging. Pac-12's struggling. Imagine the Mountain West. They're struggling. I mean, just way different situations. And then the pressure is going to be on teams to, you better be rolling or you're going to get left out. I tell you, Colfax, if I'm into pressure. I love that. I love watching teams go, oh, man, because it's going to fire a coach if you don't or whatever. Is this the most pressure the Colorado State Rams football team has ever been under? Because if you suck and that stadium's empty and whatever teams do get on TV, then they're not going to look at you. And I love Nico Medved and this basketball program. That's not enough to carry you unless you're winning, unless you're going to the Final Four in hoops. I mean, if Nico Medved for the next 3 years is going to like Sweet 16, you know, or at least getting into the tournament every year, March Madness, all right, maybe that can carry you. But look at the Jayhawks. Do you think the Jayhawks are going to get in one of these Power Five these Power Four? Because I do think that idea. So you were out last week, Colfax. Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports was on with us, and he said, "Hey, eventually we're going to get to four monster conferences, and there's 16 teams per conference. Is CSU one of those?" I asked him that question, and again, I don't expect Andrew Bogish out of New York to even know where CSU is, but he did say, "I think they're a bubble team. Their football team has been bad for the last 5 years. They have a beautiful stadium, but they don't fill it. Basketball's getting exciting, but is that enough? You got to leave a fresh taste in the mouth of the decision makers, right? So when they look at it and go, oh, wow, well, they hired Steve Adazio. He's a former Power 5 coach, and, well, they won 7 games in his first real year. Okay, and then basketball's good. All right. But if they're awful, well, they won 3 games. They beat South Dakota who? And, okay, maybe they won a Mountain West game? No. Nobody cares. It's not enough. It's just not enough. And again, when you look at the Mountain West Conference, who's carrying the conference? It's Boise State. And their basketball team's still pretty good, too. So they've got a lot of on the resume. Yeah, things are changing. And the transfer portal's wild. You know me, I'm all about this name, image, and likeness thing. I think it's great. It's been great for the station as well. It's been fun to talk to these young men, and we're working on some more unique ideas coming up. But this one here, man, this could change a lot of things. And I guess we'll see. Oklahoma doesn't realize that it's not just impacting the Big 12. It's impacting everyone. All right. Wrap up hour number one when we come back. Game Beer of the Week's from Odell's Brewing in Fort Collins. Tree Shaker Mango IPA. Pick up selections from Odell's. Get it for a discount price. That's our Game Beer of the Week at On the Rocks Liquor, celebrating their 10th anniversary. That's fantastic. All right, we'll wrap up hour number one. A lot to get to. Did the Nuggets do enough? Do you want Phillip Rivers? CSU, the pressure is mounting. Do they have what it takes to get into the, to become, I suppose, relevant to the decision makers? We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Halls Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Halls Show, 1310 KFKA.
Time flies when you're having fun, man. We blew past that break. In the second hour, we're going to talk about, did the Nuggets do enough? More on that with Will Barton. The Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Phillip Rivers says he's not giving up on his dream, or this dream to make a quick comeback. Should the Broncos give him a call? And he's more or less saying, hey, I'll be ready at the end of the season, mid-season, if a team needs me. So doesn't sound like he's too crazy about wanting to start now in training camp in August. But hypothetically, should the Broncos give him a call? That's at thewholeshow.com, Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Second hour coming up, a lot to get to. This conference stuff is interesting. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1, 1310 KFKA.